Well, I'd love to just have a little review here, and maybe in the coming service, if the Lord be willing, we'll start with the life of Moses and the revelation of his life. Now then, we've got a lot written here concerning the life of Joseph, and I guess we'll start off here and see if we can bring in a few things, and then from there we'll see if the Lord will open up something to us. First of all, remember that Joseph was 17 years old when he went to look for his brethren, and we covered that the other night pretty thoroughly, where he went out to look for his brethren, and they threw him into a pit. They threw him into a pit, and we related how the Judah and Reuben there tried to save him, and how that Reuben especially wanted to save him, and how the Judah eventually down in the land of Egypt told Pharaoh to save Benjamin, that he himself would bear the blame and be a servant. So I see Judah in both cases here tried to save Joseph and Benjamin. And strangely enough, when this thing came about, Joseph hearkened unto the voice of Judah. And if you notice, when Reuben asked permission to take the child down to Egypt, Israel, would not allow the brother, Reuben, to take Benjamin down into Egypt. He knew that Reuben had defiled his father's couch, and he didn't have any confidence in him. And though Reuben said, if you'll let me take the child down so that you can slay my two children, if I don't bring him back, but he still wouldn't do it. But then when the famine pressed sore upon him for the second trip down into Egypt, then Judah went to the father, and he had enough confidence in Judah that he allowed him to take control of Benjamin. You can really see Christ in that, can't you? Remember from Judah, the Bible said that a lawgiver shall not depart from between thy feet until Shiloh become, neither shall the scepter depart from thee, until Shiloh become, and on thou, Judah, art the one the brethren shall praise. And it was said of Joseph, from thence cometh the stone of Israel, the shepherd. All right, now then, That'll be a little confusing unless you can understand just exactly what's meant by that. But I want you to notice here, now I've got a lot of things wrote on the board here, and it's kind of hard to point these out, but I want you to especially notice, let's see if I can get Brother Taylor here to find a little place to where he can write here. Brother Taylor, right here, can you erase this right over here? Alright, notice the first trip down into Egypt. The famine was sore up in the land of Canaan, and the Bible said that they went down into the land of Egypt, and they asked for bread, and Joseph recognized his brethren and said, "Ye are spies." In other words, he wanted to reprove them for the evil that they had done, and so then he said to them, said, "Ye are spies." And they said, "No, we're not spies." He said, "Yes, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. Are ye come?" Or that is, to look upon it in the time of famine, to see what you can do against it while we're in need down here. That's what he meant. And said, "Ye are spies, to come see the nakedness of the land. Are ye come?" And he said, "No." He said, "We're not spies." And they said, "We be 10 brethren or 11 brethren and so forth." There's 10 brethren down there. Benjamin left back. And he said, "We be those of Israel." And he called his father, spoke with his father and said, "One is now with the father and one is not," which was Joseph. And they did not know that this was Joseph to whom they spake. They thought he was dead. But anyway, they said that the father is... We are the sons of this father and so forth. And I don't think at this particular time they told Joseph that the father was yet alive, because later he asked him if the father was alive. But here Joseph, he finally gave him corn. According to the Bible, this is the first trip of Brother Taylor, right here, the first trip down to Egypt. He finally gave him corn. He finally gave him corn. Now, he said there were spies, and what he did, he put them in ward for 3 days, and then he let them out of ward, and then he told them to go back up to their father. But he held Simeon, he bound Simeon in the presence of the brethren and put him back in ward, and then released the other brethren to go up, the other 9 brethren, to go back to the father's house. Now when they got back to the inn, they went a ways over there, and they found their money. And it was all shook up over this. And finally, though one of them discovered his money, the others did not discover it until they got back to the father's house. But according to the Bible, they did return from this first trip, and they ate the corn, and Israel was grieved over the loss of Simeon. And he said, Joseph is gone and Simeon is gone, and he said, these things are against me. And you say you've got to take Benjamin back down here to this man if you get any more corn. For Joseph told him, said, if you're not spies, I'll hold Simeon. And when you come back, you bring your younger brother to me, because you say that you have a younger brother, and this will be our proof of your testimony of truth, if there really is a younger brother. And so then Israel was really upset, and he said, why do you so ill with me as to tell the man that you have a brother? And Judah said, he straightly, or one of them said, he straightly asked us of our state, and we answered him according to the tenor of his words, to tell him the truth. And so then finally the famine was so bad that Jacob had to do something, and he sent again the brethren, and as he asked them to go, they refused until he finally consented to let Benjamin go down there. Now the other night we brought out the revelational part on some of these things, and we're going to just try to move through some of the natural part till we get to a certain place over here, and then we'll try to bring in a little revelation. But if you notice here now, they go back down for the second trip, and on the second trip they take Benjamin with them. Now the Bible said when they take Benjamin with them, that Joseph invites them into his own house, and they're very much troubled because they feel that Joseph has learned about them having the money. Well, the father told them to take balm and honey and the best fruits of the land and spices and myrrh and almonds and nuts to go down there and take the man a present. And so they did. They took this present, and when they got there, they began to wonder about this thing of him taking them into their house, into the house of Joseph. And so they went to the steward, and they told him, said, we've taken money that was not ours in our bags, and we don't understand who put it in the bags. And they felt like this is why Joseph was calling them in there to question him and to bring them into as bondsmen. And so they confessed believed to be their sin to the spirit there to try to explain what they would be charged with, and the spirit said, well, not to be afraid, said, don't be afraid, said, thy God has given thee treasure in thy sight. And so then the Bible said that Joseph took them in, and he treated them well, and they prepared food for the Egyptians by themselves, and then Joseph by himself. It was an abomination for the Egyptians to eat with Joseph. And then they prepared meals for the brethren by themselves. But the Bible said that Benjamin's mess was five times that of any of the brethren. And so they eat and they drank together. Now in this you can see some revelation here if you look real close. But anyway, here they ate and they drank together. And then immediately after this, Joseph told them that they could go back to their homeland. And he slipped away from him and cried a little bit when he saw Benjamin. But he come back and he said, now you can go back to your homeland. And so he gave them food and they started back. And then when they got to the inn, or as they were coming near the inn there, the Bible said that he had told his steward to rise up and go after him. And he had told the steward to place within Benjamin's sack a silver cup, his silver cup. And so the cup was placed within Benjamin's sack, and the steward pursued him. And when he came to where they was, he asked him why they stole the cup. And they said, we didn't steal the cup. Said, we brought the money back that we had. Also gave Joseph the presents of the balm and honey. And said, we didn't steal our Lord's cup. Said, with whomsoever it's found, said, let him die, and the rest of them of us will be bondsmen. And the man said, even as it is according to your word, so shall it be. With whom the cup is found, he shall be my Lord's servant, and ye shall be free to go. And the Bible said that as they searched, they started with the elder down to the younger, and when they come to Benjamin, there was the cup. And of course they rent their clothes, the Bible said, laden their asses. They went right back down to Joseph, and Joseph told them, said, they said, we're willing to be your bondsmen. And he said, no, he said, I'll not do that. He said, I'll take the one that stole the cup. said, he'll be my bondsman. Said, God forbid that ye should be my bondsman, but with him whomsoever the cup was found, he shall be my bondsman. And so then, as he said this, Judah fell down on his knees and began to plead the cause of Benjamin. You see that Christ intercessor there? He began to plead the cause here, just as he had pleaded the cause of Joseph there when he said, don't let his blood be upon us. And remember, here as he pleaded, he told him, he said, he spoke of the father, and he said that this is the younger son, and said, my other son is, his other son is gone, and he's been bereaved of this, and said, I become surety for him, and said, now unless I take this son back into the land of Canaan to my father, said, then surely when he sees the lad is gone, he'll be stricken, and then he'll die right there, and I'll see the death of my father. And he pleaded with Joseph, and he told Joseph, said, let me bear the blame, and let me be your servant, and let the child go back. And this was just too much for Joseph. He cried for all the people to get out of his presence, and all the Egyptians left. And then we see a beautiful picture here where that Joseph reveals himself to the Jews as Benjamin comes in. And they were much troubled when he revealed himself, for he said, I am your brother Joseph. And he said, you intended to do evil to me. He said, but God intended it to you for good. And so then he said, I'm not angry with you. And the Bible said that I sent the asses I spoke of the other night back, 5 or 10 asses and 10 she asses, and loaded them down with the good things, the wagons, and sent them back to the father. And he said, go back and tell my father that I am Lord in Pharaoh's house. I am a father to Pharaoh, and I am ruler over all of Egypt, and tell him of my glory. And so then the Bible said that when they finally conceived the idea that it really was Joseph, that they took these things and went back to the father's house, and then when they returned to the father's house, I just saw something there. It went all through me, just made me cold all over. I saw a beautiful, radiant light like a diamond then flash right back there. Just beautifully, just unbelievable. It went all through me when I said that then. But anyway, I believe the angel of God is here in this tent tonight. Now, I saw something like this many, many years ago. This might have to do with the angel of God appearing to me last night in that dream. But many years ago this happened. And it was as though there had been a spell or an absence in between time where I hadn't really seen this like I had before. And when I turned around, then I saw it right back there. I don't know what it means. I'm just telling you what I saw, and that's all. You can judge for yourself. But anyway, it went through me. I guess you probably noticed that kind of strange for a few minutes, but it went all through me. Maybe kind of, I don't know, like weak, like of what it was. It just, I don't know what it was. It wasn't just a sensation. It was some reaction of my physical being. I don't know what it was. But anyway, as he went back, the Bible said that he went back to the father's house, and then when he got back to the father's house, Israel saw this great thing. And when he saw the wagons and saw these great things, the Bible said that his soul revived within him, and he said, it is enough, Joseph is alive. And so then the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and he went down into the land of Egypt. And when he got down into the land of Egypt, the Bible said here, as he went down into the land of Egypt, that Joseph made his chariot ready and went out to meet his father. And I imagine that was a glorious sight. I just suppose that him being Lord down there, that he must have really decked that chariot up and got the finest horses in Egypt and had the kings and the lords and the servants and everything and rode out there to meet his poor father. I imagine that was really something. And the Bible said that he fell on his father's neck and began to weep. He began to weep. And he wept for a long time. And then finally they went on down into the land of Egypt. And the Bible said that He took five of the brethren here before Pharaoh and told them that they had been shepherds. He had instructed them that the shepherds was abomination to the Egyptians and they would have to dwell in the land of Goshen. And do you remember how, and we'll get to this a little later in the Mosaic side of it, how that the land of Goshen later, under the regime of another Pharaoh here that's cruel, how that God separated Goshen from the rest of Egypt when the plagues began to fall. You see why God put them in Goshen, the land of Goshen? And so then the Bible said when they got down here in this land, they went in before Pharaoh, and Israel also went in before Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh rejoiced. His servants was glad when they heard Jacob. Joseph weeping and found out the brethren was coming this. And so he said, just put some of them over my cattle. And the Bible said that Israel went in before Pharaoh, and he blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked him how old he was, and he said, thy servant's 130 years old. And he said, the days of my life have been few and evil, and have not obtained unto the years of my father. And you know that he finally lived another 17 years. We spoke of it the other night, down the land of Egypt with Joseph. And then Joseph finally lived to be 110 years old, died, was embalmed, and put down here in Egypt. But anyway, the Bible teaches that Joseph had two sons, and he named the first one Manasseh, for he said that he hath made me to forget my father's house and my trouble. And then when Ephraim came along, he named him Ephraim, and he said, because I have been made to be fruitful. And the Bible said that he heard his father was sick after he'd been down there these years, and after they'd been blessed. And then after this, the Bible said that someone said to Joseph, thy father is sick. So he went over to his father's house, and his father mustered up the courage and strength to bind himself upon the foot of the bed here to Joseph. And Joseph began to speak to his father, and he made him put his hand under his thigh, which was a custom of that day, to swear to him that he would take him out of the land of Egypt and bury him in the field or the cave of Machpelah over in the city of Arba, back over in Mamre, the land of the Hebrews. And the Bible said that he swore unto him, and then he blessed Manasseh and Ephraim. He claimed them as his and told Joseph that he could have the rest of them. And remember, Joseph saw the children of the third generation. Micah, the son of Manasseh, the Bible said even his children came up upon Joseph's knee. And so then the Bible says that Jacob died after that he had blessed the 12 sons and blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. He died, and they took him back into the land of Hebron, to the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham and Sarah was buried, and where Isaac and Rebekah was buried, and also where Jacob had buried Leah. Took them back there, but he blessed these two, putting his hand upon Ephraim, crossing his hand, and giving Ephraim the youngest, the greatest blessing, and Manasseh next to the greatest blessing. All right, now then, the Bible said that they took him back. I brought this out the other night. They took him back, all the lords of Pharaoh's house and all the servants, all the great leaders, and they passed back into the land of Canaan, went up beyond Jordan to the threshing floor of Adad. And here the Bible said beyond Jordan that they mourned for 7 days. 40 days they carried out for the embalming, 70 days for the mourning, and then 7 days beyond the threshing, beyond Jordan at the threshing floor of Atad here. And the Bible said it was such a mourning until the Canaanites said, this is a great mourning. And they called it Abel Mizraim, the mourning Abel. And then they buried him, and Joseph returned to Egypt to enjoy his riches there until the day of his death. And remember, Jacob said to Joseph as he was dying, he said, someday God will visit thee and take thee up out of the land of Egypt. to fulfill his promise to Abraham and to give you Canaan land. Well, he did, but Joseph was dead when he visited him. But Joseph still held on to this promise, and even though we today might yield up a promise, yet Joseph, though he knew that he would die from the way everything appeared, he still believed that they would get a visitation. And on the strength of what his father said, he said, someday God will visit you, and you will go up out of this land, and when you do, you will take my bones, because it was said of Jacob it would happen. And so then he held on to what his father had said, and such as it was said, so it was. In the days of Moses, they came, you know, and Joseph's bones was taken out. Now then, this is pretty well covering the life of Joseph here, that is passing on through these things that we related the other night about going into the dungeon and so forth, the time that was spent there, and the age of Joseph we spoke of the other night. Now then, I'd like to relate just a little something here in Revelation as of the things that, pardon me, that are happening right now. Now, the Bible said that Benjamin came in to Egypt with Joseph. Benjamin came in. Now, just recently we had something to happen. Now, if you're spiritual, maybe you can grasp something out of it. And if you're not spiritual, well, it'd just be foolishness, because God chooses the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise, that which is not to bring to naught that which is. And so then, I want you to notice now, the Bible said Benjamin came down to Joseph. Now, just a little something in connection with it. Here, a few days ago, this is something that happened in the day you were living in, just in the last few days, that this story points to. A few days ago, I was out here digging the ditches out here in the church, and you remember, Brother Taylor, how we was digging in the mud and the rain, and we was digging for the restrooms, and as we dug the trenches for the restroom, we dug a beautiful cross. Now, some of you don't know it, but mud indicates blood. It's a symbol of blood. And that's why I believe God has chose Georgia for this particular thing. But anyway, we was digging, and here it was muddy, real muddy, real muddy. And I began to speak to some of the brethren about what I understood of this thing. There was about three of us out there. And I began to speak of what I understood about this thing. I believe I spoke to Brother Jim about some things there. And I said, if the brethren knew what was happening, that they'd all be out here in the mud and be glad to get out here in the mud. But anyway, just to give just a little thought here, as we was digging the cross here, breaking through the outer wall, we was penetrating, as you would call it, the wall of petition, going through here. And of course, the thing that Brother Taylor symbolizes is death, and I had picked up his hat up here at the house while I was working. Brother Al Gonzalez was there, and you know he was Catholic before he became a Christian. So in your outer man, you represent one thing, and your inner man, you represent another one. Well, we were out there, and while we was working out here, well, these things come about. And I began to speak of the spiritual understanding of what we knew and what we saw in this, in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the crucifixion, and how that we on the other side of 70, which is called the killer, the symbol of Jordan, over here on the other side of how this thing had to do with being on the other side of Highway 78. Now, if you remember, I started a teaching over on the other side of Highway 78, and I taught 12 lessons over here on the other side of Highway 78, which was a symbol of the tribes. And that was a natural lesson where I took it from the garden all the way into Canaan land. Now, I took it from the natural side all the way into Canaan land. Over here, I picked it up, and I've taken the natural to break it down, the spiritual, in that same journey. The revelation of it, or what is called the hidden manner. When you say hidden manner, you mean revelation, for that which is hid is revealed, and is spiritual manner. So then on the other side of Jordan, as we would say over here, the other side of the mud, you remember we've been going through a siege of mud and all rain. On the other side over here, as we was teaching on Noah, Over there, then a builder from the Amish people by the name of Noah came in. We had needed water, and I had prayed for rain, and it had started raining. It looked like it just wouldn't stop. And it's rained just about ever since. But anyway, while we was teaching on Noah and the ark, here came an Amish person in by the name of Noah. Well, now, of course, a lot of folks said, well, it was just coincidental. Well, while we was in Olive Branch teaching on the tabernacle in Moses, here come a fella in from the Amish people by the name of Moses. And that's when the pillar caught on fire over there, and he was preaching about the pillar of fire and so forth. Well, it's that's coincidental. Well, he broke all the Amish rules, and coincidentally or not, he still broke them. So then this fellow by the name of Noah came down. Well, the rain set in, and during this great thing, we come over Jordan, as we would say, over into this place over here, just as we had taught the teachings to Canaan land. And then we came over here and things began to become new, and we left the old behind, and things began to become new over here on this side. Is that right? Well, you say that's just coincidental. Well, coincidental or not, I spoke of how this little tent here was predestined to go to Palestine. Is that right? And we intercepted it on the way, and it come down here. The rest of them went to Palestine. Well, so that's coincidental. Well, it could be. And then that fellow by the name of Hosea come down here from the house of Judah. He said, well, that's coincidental. Well, that could be too. But anyway, here we come over to this. And then we started the revelation, which is really the land of Canaan. We started it outside of the allegoric pattern here of what this represents in the city that we spoke of the water flowing down from the well, Mizpah, here where the voice said, name it Mizpah, and of the trailers that's parked down here, what they represent in the 12 foundation of the tribes, and the lights down there, the seven lights of the seven candlesticks and so forth, and of the church up here, all these things, we lined them up here and brought out an awful lot on this word that this revelation started over here at a place called Salem. And remember, Jerusalem was first called Salem. Well, coincidental or not, we came on over here, we crossed over. We come on over here, and all of these things started. We went overseas, and there's so much to tie into. It would take a long time, but just kind of bringing out the highlights of it to get to something I want to say here. Now, after we got over here, it was, I believe it was yesterday, was it? Day before yesterday, yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. I don't have a very good memory. But anyway, it was yesterday, day before yesterday. We was out here with the plumbers come. The plumbers come. Yesterday, was it? The plumbers come down. And here we were standing out here talking. Now, remember, we had the same place where we dug the cross and where all the mud was. And here the rain has let up some. And here we are right here at the very same place. And they start putting the pipeline in. And while they're putting the pipeline in, they lit the fire to the little, I don't know what you'd call it, the little old iron bowl that they have there to heat the lead in. And they begin to melt the lead down. And remember, Ernie went with us to get the lead. And remember what he represents in the spirit. All right, now here we went, we got the lead, and from out of wind up here, and we brought it back, and they put it in this little pot to melt it. And I never knew until yesterday that the rainbow was within lead. I never knew that. All my life, I never knew that. But when the lead was melted down, and the dross was moved away, the rainbow was beautiful. Is that right, Brother Atlee? It's just that the colors are not faint, but very steadfast, beautiful, the colors of the rainbow and the lead. And the Lord spoke to me as I stood there looking at the rainbow colors. And, you know, we just, whether coincidental or not, the things that they've been putting up about the weather balloons or whatever it was, testing, and we caught that rainbow and pillar fire and all here just about the time we start praying for rain, and Noah come in over here. And I caught it over there, and then we got over here. We caught it over here. We couldn't get a picture over there, but we come over here. We caught a picture of it over here. And we got a picture of it, and this is where I saw the rainbow. It was a rainbow over here. But anyway, it was concerning the weather. Now I saw the rainbow in this little pot. I looked down there, and I thought as they moved the dross away, I thought, you know, I said, that's the way people are. I thought of it on East Line, that people have the covenant of God within their life, but there's so much dross that covers it up, you can't see it. But when the dross of carnality is taken away, then the covenant of the life of Jesus Christ is recognized. I stood there, and I looked at it. I said, well, that's just foolish. I know it's foolish. That's what the Bible calls it. He took that to confound you that's wise out there. And so then here as I stood looking at this foolish thing, not being wise enough, you know, to believe anything except what God told me. There as I looked at it, I saw the rainbow. And I thought, now here's the cross, the same place where the mug was. And here's the veil right here. And here's the rainbow, knowing that Noah pointed to the cross. That's what it was a symbol of. In Revelation, it speaks, Revelation 10, where the angel of the covenant come down, having the rainbow about his head, showing Calvary over there. And so then I looked at it, and I thought, now, the Lord is speaking to me. Well, about this time, here come up some visitors. Coincidentally or not, here comes some visitors from way up in Ohio, and one of them's named Noah. Yesterday, was it? So here comes Noah again. Noah before the flood, Noah after the flood. Noah in the old country, Noah in the new country. You remember, he was over in the new country, too, after the ark landed. And so here they come, and strangely enough, there was another fellow with them by the name of Aden. Have you ever heard of that lovely land of Aden? Or here was a fellow with them by the name of Aden, another coincidence. And so here, both of the coincidences come down. And right here at the time that we saw the rainbow, Noah comes up. So I went out there to talk with him. Here he was with a long beard, you know, the way the Amish people are, and their black dress, and their women with the long dresses and so forth. Well, we went out there to talk with him, and of course this could be coincidental too, but he said, you know, so I'd love to stay down here a couple of weeks and help you build that building out there. And finally, seriously, he said, I just would like to go back and get some of our carpenters up there and bring a whole load of them down here and help you build this place over here. So, it sounds a little strange, don't it? But this actually happened the other day. And as I say, it happened in connection with this lead. And lead is a seal to seal water in or out. Is that right? Seal water in or out. And we were speaking of the closing of the door to the Gentiles, the last trump, the other night. Was that right? The night before that, we preached on the last trump where the dead in Christ would rise. The Bible said that at Calvary, when the resurrection came, that some of the old saints got up out of the ground and walked around and were seen. Is that right? That when the last trump sounded, and the Bible said that the dead in Christ rose up, is that right? And then we spoke of the Jews coming back in, which are those that are the dead. Paul said if it be the resurrection of the dead, it'd be bringing back of the Jews. What would it be but life from the dead? Because he knew, he had seen it in Revelation, and he knew that the Jews was dead according to symbols. They was dead. So he said whenever they come in, that means they've come back to life. And if they've come back to life, well, they signified the death of those that are trespasses and sin. They're dead. And that if the Jews come back to life, then that means those that are trespasses and sin, they come to life. The spiritual dead, and that means that those that are out yonder in the grave that parallel with the Jew will suddenly come out of the grave, and that will be the rapture. Is that right? What do you say? That's coincidental. Well, coincidental or not, my wife's daddy is named Lincoln. And, you know, Lincoln was the one that had to do with the Negroes, and you hear me speak of it about the Jews and the church and so forth. And I said, why is it coincidental? Well, coincidental or not, that same day her daddy and mother were celebrating their 50th anniversary, their golden anniversary. And I had spoken of Noah and the Jubilee of the Pentecost, where he got drunk off a new wine. I said, it was coincidental. Well, coincidental or not, last night I dreamed that I got drunk off a wine. The angel came to me. I said, well, all that's coincidental. Well, that could be. But the same thing happened when Brother Floyd's mother died. It was in the same year when they was to come to their 50th anniversary, which was their golden jubilee. And we spoke of her coming out of her suffering as the church coming out of the wilderness and the door closing to the Gentile people. Now then, there's a lot of other things that we could say in connection with these things and go on and go on and go on. But I just said that to say this, that whether you call it coincidental or whether it's not coincidental, yet it still happened. And it's still happening. Now, things are happening every day, and some of the things I relate to you, some of the things I don't relate to you. Many multiplied things I've never related to you that has happened to me spiritually that I saw one right after another of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this proves that something is taking place. Amen. Something is taking place. And they that are in heaven, as John was, they are seeing in the mind of God that which is happening in heaven while you look at the natural things. For the natural mind looks after the outer things. Is that right? So then, a lot of things that I would like to say something about here that we don't have the time to go into, but I'd like for you to think on these things, for we are at the end of the way. As a sister come, you say, well, Brother Pike, this thing is really a coincidence. And I want to say this as the last thing. I believe that it represents the rapture, the resurrection of the dead, that in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. And I've been preaching this as being the translation. Is that right? All right, Bible said, for we are translated in the marvelous King by God. Now, coincidental or not, it was the day following, I believe it was, or in the late afternoon, that Sister Dorothy Correll come over and said that her young daughter Teresa back here had had a vision of the church here coming down as though it was coming down out of heaven, and it was enraptured with clouds. We spoke of the cloud of witnesses, that it came down with the door opening and beckoning unto the people, and then after that the door was closed, and then the church went back up into the clouds. Now, this, of course, I believe anybody could see that that dream would signify a rapture. How could it signify anything else? And right here, when we spoke of the last trumpet and all these other things happening, and then the dream as well, I would say there's something that's taking place, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Now, another coincidence was, as we preached on Joseph being 17 years old, then our Joseph over here was celebrating his 17th birthday. So a lot of coincidence, ain't it? But I believe in the divine providence of God, and I believe that something is taking place, and I'm watching it day by day.
Hallelujah.
Day by day. Now then, this is all that we're going to say tonight. Joseph died and was buried down in Egypt. And this is the end of the book of Genesis. Right here it ends. And this book of Genesis is called the book of Moses. The only way I know that we could have it is that on the mountain when he talked with God, or somewhere over there, God must have revealed these things that happened back there in that day. We spoke the other night of how that education is a fraud unless it comes from God. And we made this statement, and with this statement we'll close out here tonight. We made the statement that really and truly the education comes from God. And if you don't believe that it does, you go check your history books and you'll find out that they say that civilization began in Egypt. Is that right? All right, they were in paganistic practices and heathenism. I said, until God sent Abraham down there and he brought the civilization. You say, how could that be? Because he brought the first ray of civilization, and not only did he do it, but Joseph, who became governor of Egypt, was the man that set everything in order down there, educational-wise, for he was the great leader. And from that comes your history books. So you see, if we've got God to begin with, what do we need with the twisted tree of knowledge to interfere with what we know as truth? A lot of fiction to interfere with facts. Let's just remember God, and that's all the education we need. Let's stand together. Tonight, it's a real pleasure to me to get to come out here and talk with you about the things of God, and I hope that something is being said to stir you and make you realize that the end of the world is here. Now, as I said before, it's whether it be coincident or not, at this particular time when I said that these things were happening, all of a sudden America has turned on Israel. And the Bible teaches that he that toucheth Israel touches the apple of God's eye, and it's a fact that whoever blessed Jacob was blessed. Whoever cursed Jacob was cursed, and that with the going out of the grace to America is the end of the world. And whether it be coincidental or not, while I'm teaching these things, internationally speaking, in our present day, and you can read it, see it on television, whatever, they are rising up against Israel. So I believe that this is the end of the world. I believe this is the end of the way. And I believe that it's no coincidence. One last thing that I was aware of was this, that whether it be a coincidence or not, God took them and hid them in the ark from the wrath of God. Isn't that right? And the man that was doing our plumbing, his name was Mr. Hideaway. Now let's bow our heads together. Father, Lord of heaven, as we come to thee tonight in the reverend and most holy name of our Lord Jesus, God, we're thankful tonight for these wonderful things that comes from heaven. And Lord, even as in the vision, when I asked the people, did they see these things that you showed us in heaven? Lord, I look to receive an answer. And oh God, I wonder tonight how many of these really see these things as being foolish, or see these things, Lord, that we're seeing in heaven. I ask thee, O Lord, as it was with John on the Isle of Patmos, realizing that thou hast exiled the Christians, O Lord, from the world, and put them in a place, Lord, to where they're cut off from the world, even as you did Israel in the wilderness, that you might make known to them your ways. Lord, in this great exile, Father, we do see the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we are thankful, Holy Father, that we do see it. Forgive us our sins and stumbling. If we do wrong, then we ask you to forgive us. In Jesus' name.